Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's spend some time now with Craig Ackerman, who's the Houston Rockets TV and radio play-by-play voice. Still in the Bay Area, the team won't fly home until Wednesday morning. So, Craig, it's great to catch a couple of minutes with you. Thank you so much. We see the Rockets go down double digits early in that fourth quarter, but they come back, they win this game. What happened in the fourth, Craig?
They defended, I think, first and foremost. I mean, you know, they locked down Golden State, held them to 12 fourth quarter points, just 10 after they were up by 12 early in the period. They knocked down some timely shots, Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, but they defended. They defended as if their season was on the line, and got to give credit to PJ Tucker, who was terrific rebounding the ball in the fourth quarter, had 7 of his 16 rebounds in the fourth, and they did, you know, all the little things that it takes to win, and here they are, 2-2 with a chance with home court back on their side, and two of the final three games of this series back at Toyota Center.
What looked different about Chris Paul tonight, Craig?
He had shots. He was a little more active.
Yes.
I mean, I guess that he mentioned that he felt a little bit better after sort of, you know, hurting himself a little bit at the end of game two. But, you know, he knocked down some big shots. I don't want to go too far down the well with this, but because the Rockets haven't won anything yet, they just evened up the series at 2-2, and obviously Golden State is fully capable of coming into Houston and winning game five and ending this thing on their home floor over the weekend in game six. But this in part was a legacy defining win for a lot of the players and coaches with this organization, especially after the embarrassment of game three, and obviously the start here in game four. They were down 12-0 to come back and win this game and end the Warriors, you know, lengthy record playoff home court winning streak, and to do it in the manner that they did, I think changes a little bit, maybe not all of it, but a little bit of the conversation surrounding Chris Paul and James Harden and Mike D'Antoni and some others. And so, like I said, they haven't won this series and they may not win this series, but I think this game went a long way towards perhaps maybe changing some of the thoughts of people that they have, incorrectly so in my opinion, on the players, some of the players and coaches that are on this roster.
Well, why do you think there is an incorrect or inaccurate idea and narrative around this team?
Well, you know, obviously this is the first time Chris Paul in his career has been at the conference finals. The closest he's been recently was when they were up 3-1 against the Rockets, and obviously they lost that lead and lost the series. That was the last time the Rockets played the Warriors in the conference finals as they went on to win their first championship. But, you know, Chris's playoff numbers and success with the Clippers, he's been very good. And it wasn't necessarily on him why they ultimately never got to the conference finals with the Clippers. He was individually terrific in that game six that the Rockets rallied back to beat the Clippers. He was the only guy on LA who was even willing to shoot the ball down the stretch when the Rockets had them on their heels. Now, I know obviously James Harden's season a year ago in the fourth quarter in overtime of game five in San Antonio where the Rockets let it slip. Mm-hmm. And then whatever that was in game six, you know, had some people talking about James and whether or not he's a guy who brings it, but he's already played in a finals. He led the Rockets that one year, again, as I mentioned, to the conference finals against Golden State. He typically has been very good in the postseason as well. He's been terrific so far in the postseason, especially in the first two rounds. And, you know, the Rockets are taking on an historically great team. And even though the Rockets won 65 games in the regular season and have home court advantage and they earned all of that, the Warriors are another level and they should be the favorites, and they should be the favorites to come out of this series regardless of what happened here tonight. But I think what James did, you know, the dunk on Green, the big first half, the 30 points, and Chris Paul is obviously his best game of this series, I think should hopefully change some of the talk about these guys, you know, quote unquote, not having ultimate success. And the same thing for Mike D'Antoni. You know, he was one, you know, shove and suspension away, you know, from ultimately getting over the hump when he was with Phoenix, and some weird circumstances certainly didn't allow that. He's a great coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach. And, And hopefully people will start looking at all these guys a little bit differently.
Craig Ackerman is the play-by-play voice of the Houston Rockets radio network with the team still in the Bay Area after they evened up the series 2-2. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So, Craig, you see this team game in, game out. How often has Mike D'Antoni had such a short bench? Other than Eric Gordon, only Gerald Green got in the game, and he only logged 12 minutes. So you're essentially talking about six guys doing the bulk of the work.
He's got no choice, unfortunately. He's playing six and a half guys. He's done that, in essence, for most of this series. It's unfortunate. I assure you, as much as Mike is known for a short rotation, I assure you it's not something that he wants to do but is forced to do. Look, Ryan Anderson, for one reason or the other, has lost his confidence. He won't even shoot the ball. So at this juncture, you know, a guy who's making $20 million a season is unplayable. Luke Bamute, who I know they desperately want to play, just isn't right, both physically and perhaps maybe on some level psychologically, after dislocating his shoulder for a second time. He's been a non-factor in this series. He was the Rockets' best perimeter defender the entire season, and Ryan Anderson was a guy who's hit some big shots. He's hit some big shots against this Warriors team, and those two guys have been so ineffective they can't. They can't play them. Nene, you can't play him in this series because it's just the matchup for him defending in space
right
on the Warriors small ball lineup. You just he wasn't going to play in this series anyway. He's hardly played against Golden State in his Rockets career anyway. So that was kind of that's the reason why he really hasn't played. And so and Gerald Green was terrific tonight defensively. Mm-hmm. I mean, he took some rushed shots in the game, but that's who he is, and the Rockets certainly don't want to take that away from him. And so you have to, you know, you have to live with some of those limitations. And so he really has no choice. The Rockets went from having one of the deeper, more productive benches in the league, and now they're basically down to six and a half guys. And frankly, at this juncture of the season, playing this particular Warriors team, you know, you got to throw those guys out there that you know you can rely on and either sink or swim.
Certainly has been cool, by the way, to see Gerald Green embrace his role. And so far in this postseason, he's been tenacious on defense, but he's also hit some really big shots, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He brings that edge. Speaking of an edge, the Warriors were without Andre Iguodala. How much do you think that affected game number four? How did you see it affect game four?
Well, you know, a couple of things. One, the Rockets have beaten the Warriors three times this year, and all three wins have come when Iguodala has been hurt. So we have to start there. So obviously it's a factor. Number two, obviously, without Iguodala, it takes away another really good player for them, somebody who gives them the defensive identity and versatility that makes them so tough to beat. In addition to all those, you know, Durant, Thompson, and Curry being able to knock down, you know, all kinds of shots. We're talking about three of the greatest shooters ever, but he gives them, along with Draymond Green and Durant and Thompson, the lockdown defensive versatility that's so hard to sort of solve their defensive puzzle. So him not having there gives them one less really effective player, and then forces them to sort of play some other guys maybe some more minutes than Steve Kerr wants to, and makes them go a little bit deeper into his bench than perhaps maybe he's comfortable in doing at this stage. But the irony is that the death lineup, and I just don't like the Hamptons Five, but whatever people are calling it. When I think of Hamptons Five, I think of people sitting out by a pool with their collars popped, you know,
in pink,
drinking champagne coolies, right? There's zero menace in that. Come on now, I that's very elitist.
Yes,
and I'm just not.
I just call it the small lineup,
right? But anyhow, so you know, they take him away from that, and you take all that away. The irony is that the death lineup has destroyed teams. For years. I mean, even before Durant came, I mean, that was the death lineup.
Right.
Now it's on steroids with Durant. And the irony is that in this series, the Rockets have had the better of that group. And it's been when Kevon Looney's been on the floor that the Rockets have had all kinds of problems. So for all the reasons that I mentioned, they're missing him. But technically, so far in this series, when he's been on the floor, the Rockets have taken advantage of him. And then I'll say one other thing. He's their best wing defender on James Harden. So, you know, that certainly helps the Rockets and hurts them too.
Craig Ackerman from the Bay Area after Game 4 with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Before I let you go, Chris Paul on TNT following the broadcast issued a challenge to Houston, and he brought up what happened with Santa Fe and how he hoped that this basketball game would provide a brief break and maybe a distraction and something that the city could rally around. And certainly Houston sports fans know exactly what he's talking about with Harvey last year and then with the Astros. How do you believe the fans will respond in Game 5?
I think they're going to respond well. I mean, Houston is an extremely resilient city, whether it be, you know, man-made disaster or, you know, natural disaster. It's a pretty resilient group of people that typically responds and bounces back. And I certainly think the Astros run of the World Series help alleviate some of that, and hopefully the game tonight and whatever remains of this season from the Rockets can, you know, provide some comfort to those who've experienced this tragedy personally. And I think the fans will be ready. They were terrific in Game 2. I expect them to be terrific in Game 5 and give this team a lift. You know, again, I think people are very, very excited about what this team did here tonight, the way that they won this game. And I think people are really very much looking forward to the Rockets and an opportunity to find themselves one game away from getting to the NBA Finals for the first time since the mid-1990s.
Oh, it is the always critical, pivotal, crucial, so important game number 5 when we have a tie series. And aren't we lucky as basketball fans that we get a pair of these game 5s in which two series hang in the balance. Craig Ackerman, play-by-play voice of the Rockets on both TV and radio. Awesome to talk to you. You can find Craig on Twitter at @CA_Rockets, and the voice is unmistakable.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.